the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers the Arizona Cardinals. And we're in episode 587. When this show, I've got a special guest, as it is our opponent preview, our week two NFL preview, as I've got Cam DeSilva, managing editor over at the Rams Wire, as often as we can call it, a frequenter of the show, a frequent guest between you and Kyle Madsen. I've probably had you on, what, half a dozen times over the last couple years?
Yeah, at least.
And since the Cardinals and Rams play twice a year, and we tend to do one as well in the offseason looking at the opponents. So we get Cam as we look at the LA Rams. The Cardinals host the Rams this week at State Farm Stadium in their home opener. The Rams and Cardinals both looking for their first win of the year, although looking very different in both. And both actually lost by 6 points on the road, as the Cardinals lost 34-28 to the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park. And the Rams valiantly battled that Detroit Lions team 26-20, a loss in overtime, despite a whole bunch of stuff. So, and we're going to start. Let's look back. What happened lastly? Like, what were the Rams? This is our first look at the Rams this season. Were they significantly different in any way from what they were as a team philosophically? Offensively, obviously, this is the first game with no Aaron Donald. How did things look in that game last week, aside from the final score?
Yeah, they actually played pretty well, especially all things considered with the injury situation. They started the game with their backup left tackle. He got hurt. Their starting left guard, Steve Avila, got hurt. They were without their right tackle, Rob Havenstein. So the offensive line was just a complete mess. I mean, I haven't seen an offensive line this decimated by injuries so early in the season, I think, in my life. So Matthew Stafford was working behind a complete makeshift offensive line, guys who should not be starting, like AJ Arcuri, who had to go up against Aiden Hutchinson, and just he was overmatched for the entire game. So that was a tough matchup for him. Stafford was under pressure a ton, and they didn't really run the ball that well. Kyron Williams had 18 carries for 50 yards. We didn't see Blake Corum at all. Ronnie Rivers had a couple of carries. They did a few jet sweeps with Puka and Cooper Kupp. And speaking of Puka, he got hurt too. So this offense was really just kind of not what the Rams foresaw the offense being before the season started. It was just ravaged by injuries. And still, they put up 20 points, took the Lions to overtime, really should have won that game, honestly. Stafford threw a bad pick in the end zone earlier in the game. They failed to convert on fourth down from the Lions 25, so that was another at least 3 points. Just a few costly mistakes. And, I mean, as deflating as it is to lose the opener, it was kind of an encouraging win given an encouraging loss given the circumstances and the fact that they took the Lions to overtime.
The one thing that surprised me of all of that, like what happened? Why did Jonah Jackson start at center?
Yeah, that was kind of a last minute situation for the Rams. And it had been Jonah Jackson. They signed him to play left guard. And they moved.
And we talked about Avila going to center, and that's where he worked almost all offseason, wasn't it?
Yeah, until the last couple of weeks. They had him at center. They were going to move him there. Then they switched. So I don't know exactly what the reasoning was. I think it could be a situation of trying to prepare for any potential injuries, which occurred. and they had Bo Limmer. They were training him at center to be the backup. And Avila got hurt, so Limmer stepped in and Jonah Jackson went over to the left guard again. So I don't know if it was Avila struggling. It seemed like he was doing really well at center. I don't know if it was Jonah Jackson struggling at left guard. I didn't hear anything poorly about his performance in practice. So just a weird situation. But now Jonah Jackson is going to be the left guard, and then Bo Limmer, the rookie, is going to step in at center.
It seems like just when you were excited, and it looked like the Rams, like you were going to get Cooper Kupp, a healthy Cooper Kupp, and a Puka Nacua on the field at the same time. Apparently, those two can't coexist on a football field without one getting hurt. Is that kind of how that's going in the first little more than a year of Puka's career?
Yeah, it's crazy. Puka came onto the scene last year, was a star in the beginning of the season and throughout the entire year, and Kupp missed the first four games. And now we go to this year, and it's Puka who's going to miss at least four games, and Cooper Kupp is healthy. So even when they were on the field together last year, Cooper Kupp was not fully healthy. He just wasn't himself. So really disappointing to hear that they're not going to be fully healthy together for at least a month. And who knows after that? McVay said he doesn't know if it's going to be, it might be longer than those four games. They got a week six bye. It might be longer than that. So we'll see when Puka gets back, and that's a huge blow to this offense.
Philosophically, offensively, did anything change with how they do things? Production Kupp was fantastic. 14 catches, although only about 8 yards per reception. Did have a 21-yard catch there. At least the way he was getting the ball looked just like, you know, a couple years ago. That was the philosophically offensively, other than the lack of success running, because one of the things we noticed last year was it felt like McVay was able to go from this quick passing team to a grinded out strong run game. Did he have to go back to kind of 2021 stylistically because of the run game, because of the way that Detroit was defending them? And do you think that could be kind of a back and forth how things are going? If Kyren's having more success, will the offense look more like it did last year?
So, yeah, I think it's kind of situational. You're going up against the Lions, who just statistically last year, this year, have a really good run defense. So they didn't get the ball going really well at all with Kyren early in the game. I don't even think he had a 10-yard run in the entire night. So kind of got shut down with the run a little bit. So went with more of a quick passing game. And Dan Campbell even said after the game, he was like, we weren't going to get sacks no matter if we were going up against high school tackles with how quickly Stafford was getting the ball out. So he knew that the Rams game plan was just to get the ball out quickly. Cooper Kupp was running all these just speed outs and quick outs and just short, quick passes to the outside over the middle a little bit. Just kind of trying to get the ball out quickly and avoid the Lions just destroying their offensive line and collapsing the pocket on Stafford in half a second. So not much change there. I think they still want to be a physical running game or a physical running team. I thought they would go with more 12 personnel with the tight ends that they have, but I don't think they ran it once. So it was mostly Colby Parkinson running the show at tight end and just going with 11 personnel, three receivers. So not much change there.
Defensively, going from the dominance of Aaron Donald, how did that young group look? Kobe Turner in year two, Byron Young in year two, Jared Verse and Braden Fisk as rookies. I see that Young had a sack, Verse had a sack, which that's great. But what was different? Was that defensive front different, or in terms of dominance, how did that young front look?
I think it looked really good, actually. Bobby Brown, their nose tackle, didn't have the best game. Braden Fisk was a little quiet, but Kobe Turner, Byron Young, and Jared Verse all played really well. Verse, I think, was sixth in total pressures in the NFL in week one, so really good start for him. Byron Young had a sack and picked up kind of where he left off last year. And Kobe Turner was just kind of doing this thing from the interior, generating pressure and played well against the run. So those three guys are really promising. And then once Braden Fisk gets going, he was really, based on what Sean McVay said, he was a star of training camp and in practice. And I think, this being his first NFL game, he didn't play in the preseason. So kind of just finding his footing and getting going. So I think he's going to have a really good year too. Those four guys are going to carry this defensive front and kind of make up for the departure of Aaron Donald.
Based on what you saw, did Verse and Young swap sides much, or was it more Verse on the right going against left tackle or right tackle?
It seemed like Verse was mostly going against the left tackle. He was the right edge rusher, and then Byron Young was the left edge rusher going against the right tackle.
All right, good stuff. Now, I do have one question based on last time. What led to the Ernest Jones trade? Because as one of the guys as I had listed as one of the better linebackers in the division, to suddenly see him just abruptly traded to Tennessee for what, like a bag of chips is what it was. It was basically just improving by a round. It was him and a pick for another pick.
Yeah. That came out of nowhere. Yeah, that was, I think it's a combination of a few things. So Ernest Jones wanted a contract, or he didn't hold out or anything. He's just in the last year of his contract. So he was looking for an extension. The Rams said flatly and publicly in March, they weren't going to sign him to an extension this year. So they kind of foresaw him leaving maybe next year anyway. And then you have the knee injury that kind of lingered from last year, and then he had a little injury in the spring and just never really got going in training camp, missed a bunch of time. Sean McVay said that kind of affected his reps and his standing on the depth chart. And so they kind of just cut ties and were like, we're going to go with Troy Reader and Christian Roseboom, and we like this undrafted rookie Omar Spates, and we're going to lean on these guys and kind of move forward with them rather than inevitably probably moving on from Ernest Jones next year in free agency. So unexpected, but the Rams are never afraid to cut ties with guys who seem like franchise cornerstones and important players. So
coming up next on the Rise of Syria podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk. Let's look at the keys and the matchups that we're going to be looking at in this matchup on Sunday. That's coming up next on Rise of Syria. Back on the Rise of Syria podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk. And we have talking to Cam DeSilva from the Rams Wire. Looking at this game this weekend, obviously the offensive line. Do you know what it's going to look like? Basically, everyone's hurt. If you look at it, among the starters, obviously, Alaric Jackson still suspended. Joe Noteboom out. Avila out. Dotson's hurt but expected to play. How likely is it that Rob Havenstein returns to start at right tackle in week two?
He's the tricky one. He's kind of still day-to-day. He was questionable last week, so he did have a chance to potentially go. It's not like he was ruled out on Friday. He's the big one where if he plays, that would allow the Rams to move Warren McClendon, who was their right tackle on Sunday, over to left tackle and avoid having to start A.J. Arcuri, who was not very good. They signed Ty Nasecki literally 2 days ago or yesterday, so that would avoid them having to throw him in there. So I think if Rob Havenstein plays, that's a big boost to this offensive line and kind of brings some stability up front at the right tackle position, and then also helps out on the left side. So McVay hasn't said for sure if he's going to play or not. They're still holding out hope, but he's kind of day-to-day at this point.
Okay, so I know they also signed Jaron Christian, so you've got Nasecki and Christian, both who have started at left tackle at different points. But you think it would be McClendon if Havenstein is back either way?
McVay said that on Monday in his press conference. That was before they signed these guys. He said that's a good possibility, that if Havenstein's back, it'll probably be McClendon on the left side. I think they would probably go that way rather than Nasecki or Christian, just because of how much McClendon has played. He's been practicing and filling in for Havenstein all summer because he's been out for a bunch of the training camp. So he's gotten a bunch of reps. He knows this offense, and I think he'd probably be more comfortable with McClendon at left tackle than Nasecki or Christian.
Who's likely the guy at left guard? So you've got, never mind. You're going to have Jonah Jackson back at left guard. You're going to have Blimmer at center, and Dotson should, like, even though he's banged up, he's expected to play. So it's not as bad as it could be. And well, here's the fun matchup. you could be going up against the Cardinals with two backup tackles when the Cardinals had generated, what was it, like 3.5% pressure rate from their edge guys or something like that. Literally, like, I think the stats came out that the two Buffalo tackles went 31 for 31 on pass rushing wins, when technically there should have been a one win by Zaven Collins, but he got flagged for roughing the passer for seemingly no reason, because he did the sack that he had. He had a great game, mm-hmm. but like the one sack he had for some reason was flagged to pass roughing the passer. We still don't know what that was, but that was literally the only one-on-one win by the Cardinals edge guys against the Buffalo tackles. So you've got questionable tackle play combined against bad edge play. How do you think that matchup's going to look?
I'll go edge to the Rams, just based on Sean McVay's game planning and his ability to kind of negate any issues that the Rams might have at tackle. That certainly beats going up against Aiden Hutchinson for the entire game, because he was wrecking their entire offense. So it should give the Rams a little bit of confidence that they don't have to go up against a Pro Bowl type edge rusher. So that's certainly going to help them.
Yes. As we look kind of the other matchups, where are some matchups let's talk about last year when it came to Kyren Williams and basically all the running backs in the NFL completely dominated against the Cardinals, but especially Kyren Williams and guys in the NFC West. Do you believe that the game plan will begin with him as it was last year with the Rams and Cardinals?
I think now that the Rams are more aware of their situation along the offensive line, where they're not getting surprised by Joe Noteboom getting hurt and Steve Avila getting hurt, they can kind of game plan for how to attack this Cardinals defense more structurally and normally versus what they had last week. So I think they are going to try to lean on that running game a little bit more, just keep the pressure off of Matthew Stafford and wear down this Cardinals defense and really get the offensive line moving forward and being more aggressive rather than coming back in these pass sets all the time. So I would expect to see hopefully a healthy dose of Kyren Williams. Maybe we'll see a little bit of Blake Corum, who didn't play last week. McVay said that was kind of just based on the situation with the offensive line and the game plan overall, but hopefully we'll see a little bit more of the running game to alleviate some of these issues on the offensive line. And Kyren Williams had over 300 yards in two games against the Cardinals last year. So he obviously ran very well against them. I don't know how much the defense has changed completely for Arizona, but he played really, really well against them last year.
Does Kupp, as we've years passed, is Kupp more in those three wide sets? Does he line up outside or inside, or does he move? Is he all over the place? I'm sure he's all over the place. Where does he typically line up when they go with their 11 personnel?
Yeah, he's all over the place. He ran a ton of pre-snap motion, so even where he did line up last week, he was moving across the formation. He ran like 400 something yards, I think.
I saw that. Said. Yeah, what you wrote.
Yeah, it was absurd how much he moved around. So you never really know where he's going to be in terms of where he's lining up. He did line up in the slot a ton. I'm looking at Pro Football Focus, 38 snaps in the slot and then 15 out wide. So primarily in the slot. But, the Rams run so many tight, condensed formations that a lot of the guys are kind of lining up close to the action in the line of skirt or the offensive line. So makes it tough for these corners to press and makes it easier for the receivers to get free releases and some of these mesh concepts that McVay runs gets them open pretty easily. So he's going to move around, but he's at his best, I think, in the slot.
A matchup I'm looking at for this game is at with the Cardinals, because Jonah Williams just got hurt. He's going to be out for the foreseeable future with the knee injury, which means Kelvin Beachum, the 35-year-old vet, returns to the lineup at right tackle. And as you said, it looked like the primarily Jared Verse is going to line up. He'll be going up against Paris Johnson on the left side. But Byron Young, Will look like we'll get the primary matchup against Beach up on that side, and Byron Young already proved to be a pretty solid pass rusher last year. I'm looking up at that matchup because Beacham, in his relief appearance, struggled a bit. Greg Rousseau had 3 sacks against the Cardinals last week. He also got put on skates by Von Miller for a play. and you know, just completely pushed back by Miller, and it made Kyler trip and fall, and he was sacked. Kyler was sacked 4 times. How do you think Byron Young will do against the grizzled veteran of Kelvin Beachum on that side?
I like Young's game. He's a really quick defender. He's got good kind of speed to power conversion because he's so athletic, and he's kind of similar to Jared Verse. They're both just such physical players, and they have such good speed off the edge. So I like Byron Young's game a lot. I think he's going to have a good season. He had 8 sacks last year as a rookie. I see him going over that number this year. And he's off to a good start already. He had a sack in the opener. So that seems like a pretty favorable matchup for the Rams. And especially going up against a backup right tackle. I think he's going to have a good game on Sunday.
As we look at with Kobe Durant, how likely it is that you think that he's going to miss this week?
That's a tough one. He was held out yesterday in practice with a toe injury. I don't remember him not finishing the game on Sunday. I know he missed a few snaps, but I think he was able to finish the game. He had a near interception in the fourth quarter. He's an important player for them because they have Trey White, who played fairly well other than a long touchdown allowed last week. They have Kobe, and then they have Quentin Lake, who's a safety kind of nickel defender in the slot, and he's going to take care of whoever lines up in the slot for the Cardinals. And then after that, it gets thin at cornerback. They did just bring back Akella Witherspoon, who is a familiar face, but I think they would much prefer to have Kobe Durant out there rather than Witherspoon, who was just signed yesterday. So the hope is that he's going to play. McVay didn't have a clear answer about whether he's going to be able to go, but they have to be hoping that he's going to be able to suit up.
And we're recording this on a Thursday morning, so we've only just had the one injury report to look at. Trey White, is he going to be more? Do you think he will line up mostly up against Marvin Harrison Jr. or perhaps will more against Michael Wilson, with the hope that Durant is back and would cover Marv?
The Rams kind of, it depends on the game. I think we'll see Trey White on Marvin Harrison a bunch. It probably depends on where the Cardinals put their receivers to. Last week we saw Trey White on the left side and right side. I didn't really catch a trend of where he was more, but I don't think the Rams are going to have any problem moving those guys around. So, and then Greg Dortch is in the slot, correct? He's going to be their slot guy. Yes. So he'll get Quentin Lake in the slot, which is a fun matchup because Lake is a really good upcoming defender for the Rams. Just he's played safety in college, and they've converted him to that kind of slot corner, and he's played really well throughout his first 2 seasons in that role. So that'll be a fun matchup. Trey White, like I said, he had a pretty good game other than the one touchdown allowed to Jameson Williams over the top, but good start for him last week. So interested to see how he goes up against Marvin Harrison, who I know was quiet in the opener for the Cardinals.
A whopping 3 targets.
Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder too.
Oh, yes. That was that. Everyone saw that.
And
he was like, exactly. Hey.
Yeah.
Like in the context of the game, there wasn't a way to get him the ball at that point.
Yeah.
Marv was not the first read. He was going to Dortch on that rush. He was going hot to Dortch, but one of the linebackers jumped, and so he had to pull the ball back. So he moved to his left.
Yep.
And by the time he reset, there was no way to get the ball at that point.
And you can't see everything. Yeah.
No. And no Kyler Short jokes. It wasn't because of that. Yeah. It wasn't because of that. Keys to if the Rams are going to win this game, what do you see as being the keys for them in week 2 for beating the Cardinals?
I think they got to run the ball. I don't think they can play this drop back passing game again with the current state of their offensive line. Stafford threw 49 passes last week, and that's as good as he is, that's not necessarily a recipe for success when you have so many backups up front protecting you. So I think they got to get the run game going. Just follow behind Jonah Jackson and Kevin Dotson, your guards, and pound the ball inside. And whether that's with Kyren Williams or a little sprinkle of Blake Corum or a little bit of Ronnie Rivers, who's kind of a shiftier, faster back to the edge, go with that. But I would expect them to try to get this ground game going because it wasn't successful at all against the Lions, which is understandable given the players that they have up front. But I think this Cardinals defense is a little more susceptible to the run. And I would expect them to get that going.
12 quarterback hits against Matthew Stafford. And it looks like it was majority of guys coming off the edge. Four QB hits for Bree Hutchinson, four for Marcus Davenport, two for Onwuzurike. That was primarily the tackle play, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep. For sure. It was McClendon and Arcuri struggling, and even Opum before he got hurt, he was having a really rough game. I think, if I remember correctly, his pass block grade was like 7.2 and Arcuri's was 1.9. They were the two worst in the NFL. So yeah, that gives you a sense of how poorly they played at tackle.
All right. Coming up next on the Rise of Sierra podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's look ahead again. Let's move on and talk about our picks, predictions, and a little bit of fun. Maybe a look at what we think is going to happen statistic wise. That's coming up next on Rise of Sierra. Back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, the Sierra Cardinals talk on the web, talking to Cam DeSilva about the Rams, managing over the Rams wire as we go to our picks segment. The Cardinals are favored by 1.5 points. This is perhaps the oddest line in that on the radio show I appear on. Rooster Bierstein, who's on AM 1060 here, called it a fishy line. How fishy do you think that line is? Should the Cardinals even be favored? I know there was definitely concern because you lost Puka in the offensive line, but ultimately, do you think that line will move back by the time Sunday rolls about?
I don't know if it'll move back. I'm surprised it moved the way that it did, because it was kind of expected that Puka would be out. And then the offensive line news was kind of expected too, with Avila and Noteboom. I don't know if it'll move back because I don't think we'll get any good injury news on the Rams front past today. I'm a little bit surprised that the Rams are underdogs in this one, just given their history of against the Cardinals in the last 7 years. And I think both teams actually played really well in week one. Both had a good chance to win. I lean the Rams in this one, even with the status of their offensive line, just because of the playmakers that they have with Kupp and DeMarcus Robinson's a little sneaky playmaker and Kyren Williams at running back. But I don't think it'll move back to the Rams being favored personally.
So this would be for you. I haven't written my underdog piece yet, but this is really the pivotal game for both teams, right? I mean, there are higher expectations for the Rams, but neither one of these teams wants to start the season 0-2.
In a division with the 49ers too, which makes it even tougher. You got to play them twice. So yes. I don't know what the number is.
And Jordan Mason apparently is Christian McCaffrey. And I put the joke, they're completely joking. Oh, so Christian McCaffrey is a system back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Running backs don't matter. That's the ultimate example. Just Jordan Mason rushing for 150 yards on a team that has Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, you don't want to start the season 0-2. I don't know what the number is about making the playoffs when you're 0-2, but it's significantly worse than 1-1, I would assume. So nobody wants to be 0-2 to start the year, and especially the Rams because they have the 49ers in week three. So that is not how you want to go into week three with an 0-2 record.
And the Cardinals are at home against the Lions. And so whoever loses this game could be staring at 0-3. And if that ends up being the Rams, that's a shocker considering where they were a season ago and kind of going into this year, what there were. They look like a team ascending, even with the loss of Aaron Donald, because of how they've reloaded with youth on the defensive side of the ball. And the way the division, because the Cardinals are not on the Rams level yet. If you look at talent and coaching, if you look at Seattle, which is a big question mark.
Yeah.
it would just make things really muddled, right? After the 49ers, it would just muddle things up because the Seahawks won in week one. The Cardinals lost close game. If the Cardinals win and they go, and, you know, the Rams end up in the back of the division, that's wild. Yeah. So how do you think, is it going to be a high scoring or low scoring game? You think, because it's the total set about 49 points. Both teams, like last week, the Rams had, it was 26-20, so that would have stayed under the total. But the Rams have just, I mean, they've dominated the Cardinals in recent history. The Cardinals only have one win with Kyler Murray, and that was in L.A., what was it, in 2021? Yeah. Other than that, it's, how do you see this going down score-wise?
I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring. I think the Rams game last week was a little bit more indicative of how this game could go score-wise versus what the Bills and Cardinals did. You had the long kickoff return in the Cardinals game that inflated it a little bit too. I think the Rams are going to run the ball a little more than they did in week one, kind of maybe slow down the game a little bit for their offense and their offensive line. So I think that could drive the score a little bit lower, and obviously missing Puka just naturally takes a little bit of juice out of this offense. So I'm going to lean a little bit towards the under on this one.
Okay. Looking at a few numbers, 74.5 yards, Kyren Williams over or under that total based on what the that seems like a hammer that over based on what they saw last year for the Cardinals. But the Cardinals did hold James Cook to only 71 yards, even though the rush defense didn't look good at the end. It was just Josh Allen that did everything. Would you say Kyren goes 75 or higher?
I would go over that line if I knew that he was going to be the workhorse again that he was last week, because I think 18 carries for 50 yards is not the norm for him. It was just a really good defense. But the wild card is just McVay and these running backs. You never know what he's going to do. Like, nobody expected Kyren to play almost the entire game when they have Blake Corum sitting there talking him up all offseason. So this is a spot where I could see McVay being like, all right, let's get Blake Corum going. And he gets 15 carries and really has a big game. I don't necessarily think that could happen, but you never know with McVay. But I would lean towards the over on Kyren, just knowing that they're probably going to want to get him going after a quiet week last week and with the offensive line struggling and pass protection.
James Conner over or under 64.5 yards, especially when we saw the Detroit run game be able to do, especially late, just be able to do whatever it wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, David Montgomery probably had that on that last drive to win the game. The run defense is not great. The Rams are a little bit small up front. They have Troy Reader and Christian Roseboom, who played pretty well at linebacker, but that's a drop off from Ernest Jones. So I would lean the over on James Conner's rushing yards too.
If we're looking at, let's look at touchdowns. Oh, so the line for Matthew Stafford throwing at least one pick over half interception minus 155. That's a terrible line. Passing touchdowns, but it also looks like they expect it's, I guess, the kind of the expected line for Stafford is to have two touchdown passes and one interception, because over or under 1.5 passing touchdowns. The over is minus 140 on BetMGM right now.
I would lean the under on that one and take the plus money on under the passing touchdowns, just because Kyren Williams is such a good back in the red zone. I think they could go with him in those kind of important areas rather than taking a risk with the offensive line allowing a sack and going backwards. So I think we could see Kyren scoring one or two touchdowns instead.
And ultimately, what do you think that final score is going to be?
I would go something around like 24-20 Rams. I don't really see either of them going over 30. The line is 49, like you said, so I would lean the under on that one. I could see a game 27-20, 24-20, something in that range, 24-21. So that's where I would look at that about.
And that's that. Honestly, that's the 24-20 score. That's exactly what I had pegged. I think, And again, I'm notoriously positive when it comes to the Cardinals. I could see either team winning that way, but yeah. I think I'm going to give the Cardinals this one 24-20 because seeing what Detroit did with the run game gives me hope for what the Cardinals can do with the run game. And then if that happens, that can open things up a little bit, but I think it'll be pretty close and the Cardinals are going to struggle a little bit because the first half against Buffalo was something to see. 17 points. They doubled time of possession in the first half. They had 20 minutes of possession in the first half, and then they ended up losing the game and time of possession because it flipped. The script flipped. But that was all in Josh Allen. That was something wild. So I think it's going to be 20. I can see a 24-20 game going either way. I'm going to lean the Cardinals just out of circumstances, probably for the same way. You look at the Rams, you probably think that's a great underdog pick, and I probably should pick the Rams for one of my underdog picks for Sportsbook Wire, but I'm not going to do it because I'm going to ride with my Cardinals. But this is incredibly important for both teams. Surprisingly, week two matchup is pivotal because neither team's going to want to start 0-2, especially with the schedule that they have coming up, with the Rams coming up against San Francisco and the Cardinals going up against Detroit. The Cardinals have three home games in a row. They've got the Rams, the Lions, and the Commanders. Going 1-3 to start the year is not what they want. If the Cardinals can go 2-2 in this first four, because then they go to San Francisco and Green Bay, going 2-4 in those first six games is kind of the minimum we want to see. But 1-5 could really be real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Cam, for your time. That'll wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Seared podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. We have previewed Rams Cardinals. Seth and I will be back for a show that will drop tomorrow on Friday for our preview of the game. And you can check out Cam's stuff at the Rams Wire as well. And if you're a degenerate like both of us, you can see his stuff on Sportsbook Wire as well. Both of us will have our picks up on Tally site as we'll see how that goes. And I held off Cam over the season last year. I held off Cam in terms of top spread better when it came down. It was close. It was close. But hey, but that means you can generally follow us for some wins. Yep. For a little bit, so let's do that. Let's keep that up this year. Let's go 1-2 again this year. I don't feel bad if you beat me. We're 1-2, and we're dominating the spread picks. That'd be fantastic. Cam, thanks for joining me again. We will. I'm sure we'll talk to each other at the end of the year when the Cardinals when the Cardinals play the Rams in Week 17. Right?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Thanks for having me again.
All right. Take care, Cam. That'll wrap up this edition. We'll be back again tomorrow, and hopefully we get a Cardinals win, although Cam thinks he hopefully gets the Rams win. That'll wrap up this show. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red. Whoa!